Lord Jesus, we do not lack any spiritual gift as we wait for your coming. Keep us awake and help us use our gifts to serve those who look for the dawn of your justice and mercy. Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also
with you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, alert us to the threatening dangers of our sins and redeem us for your life of justice. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to sit here and invite you children to come around and sit by me so you can see what I have. Well, that might be what I'm going to tell you. Come on over, Ben. Sit by me. No? You're going to stay there by the... Hold up that pulpit tree, huh? All right. So, do you know any sign language?
Wait, I know that this means
Christ. This is Jesus.
Jesus.
This is Jesus. Can you do Jesus? This finger. This finger.
This means sing.
This means sing.
Song.
This means song.
This is love.
That's love. This is thank you. Thank you is like this.
It's like
this.
This
is God. Okay, so we're sign language people in the church. Not sign with American Sign Language like we were just doing with our fingers, but we are sign language people in that we have lots of signs around that show us different things. So one thing that this is a new season. We're starting Advent. And do you see any signs in the church that this is an Advent season? What do you see? The Advent wreath. The Advent,
yeah, I hope to put it up.
The Advent wreath is a circle, and it always has four candles for each week of Advent. So we have 4 weeks of Advent, and the one candle is lit every week during the Advent season. That's one thing. That's one sign. What is another sign that you see? Of?
I actually want to say something about that.
Okay.
There is
a Christ candle that goes in the center, but since we have a Christ candle, we don't want two. So this is our Christ candle in the back by the baptism font. So we don't put the Christ candle in here. There is, what color are the paraments? These are called paraments. They're blue. Blue is the color of Advent because the Advent season is the time when it's pretty dark later in the afternoon, and it's getting in the middle of December. It starts getting at Christmas time that the days start getting longer. There's light in the world, but right now it's kind of dark, and the blue is the color of the sky in the winter. And it's the color of hope. Blue is the color of hope. And so we have blue during Advent to give us hope as we wait for the coming of Christ. What else did you see?
The tree.
It's not a Christmas tree. It's called, It's not called an angel tree. It's called a chrismon. So chrismon are two words shortened and put together, meaning Christ monogram. So all of those things are like initials. So your monogram would be your initials. So what would we have? D, A, F for Fadden. D, A, F. Is A your middle name? What's your middle name? D, J, F. That's your monogram. Well, Jesus' monogram.
M-R-O
is yours?
A
pro. You're a pro, Penny. Well, Jesus' monograms are all up on this tree. And I want you to take a look at those, and we can see that all of those symbols, again, we're a sign language church, all of those symbols are different signs of Jesus. So we have the dove for like and for God. So we have a dove, like the Holy Spirit. We have a star. We have a circle that is a sign of eternity. A fish. The angel stands for God's messengers. God's messengers. So all of that. And we have the four candles all over the, on this banner over here. We have a crown for Christ the King. And the four candles, and it says, prepare the way. What's the way? What are we preparing? To Bethlehem, we're preparing the way, we're remembering, you know, I brought something for you. It's an Advent calendar. So this calendar, you open up one window each day, and you only open up one window. And it tells you, yesterday was an Advent. Advent starts today. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. And so you find number one. Ben, do you want one? Do you want a calendar? I'll show you how it works. Okay, so you open it up. You just open up number one. Find number one. Where is it? Way in the corner. I'll open. Oh, you got one, Ben. And then you just open it up. Now these are kind. And then you read what's underneath. What does it say?
Can
you read yours?
Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come redeem us for your life of justice.
Stir up your power. So we're asking God to stir us up too. And give us his power. So save these, take these home and put them somewhere. And if any moms and dads want one of these, that I have some more, and I'll put them out in the back. There's also an Advent reflection devotion book, and they're out in the narthex as well. So take an Advent. Yeah, I like chocolate ones too. I saw a beer one at Costco. You get a different kind of beer every day. And a chocolate one. That'd be cool to have two. These are scripture ones. So you get to read the Bible instead. Which is just as good. Alright. You're going off to have a rehearsal now for your program. And there are some older children that are going to go with you. So off you go.
Precious in his sight, Jesus loves the little children of the world.
The first reading is from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and that time I will cause the righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 25 responsively. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth, and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners your way.
You lead the lowly in justice and you teach the lowly your way.
All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our second reading is from 1 Thessalonians. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your heart in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and our Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all his saints. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live in the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you will have the strength to escape all these things that take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, today we begin a new year in the church, The first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of a new liturgical year. So last year, our gospel lessons were all from the Gospel of Mark, mostly. And this year, we will focus on the Gospel of Luke. And I really like year C. We have A, B, and C, and now we're in year C. And I like the year of Luke in C because we hear stories and things that we don't get in the other Gospels that we totally would miss without Luke. We hear more about Jesus' birth and about his early years. Some miracles and teachings are only in this gospel. Without Luke's gospel, we wouldn't know about the widow at Nain and her son who was raised to life. We wouldn't hear about Mary and Martha, the friends of Jesus. We wouldn't hear the parable of the Good Samaritan or about the unjust judge and the Pharisee and the tax collector at prayer. Without Luke's gospel, we would not be able to know the story or sing the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. That's only in Luke's gospel. Maybe I like Luke's gospel because he has an extraordinary interest in food. Like Jesus, through Luke's gospel, it seems like he's always eating. Sometimes with the wrong kind of people. Or he's using examples about food, about banquets and gatherings and parties. Luke says that in Jesus' coming, God has filled the hungry with good things. So even his metaphors are about food, and I kind of liked food myself, so I like Luke's gospel. Someday I'm going to do meals just as I read the gospel and eat as often as Jesus eats in the gospel of Luke. You know, if you start today and read one chapter of Luke's gospel for every day, on Christmas Eve you'll finish the gospel. So read one chapter of Luke's gospel every day and you will be, that could be your Advent preparation for Christmas. So this is what we can look forward to in this new church year in the Gospel of Luke. And he has a special attention on the poor and the oppressed, on women and on prayer and on the Holy Spirit. So you will, throughout this church year until next Advent, we will be emphasizing those things. In Luke's gospel, it's like God is coming in, breaking through the numbness of our lives. Jesus is inaugurating God's work of restoring humanity and restoring creation. With every healing and every blessing, every person that is touched by God through Jesus, that numbness is pierced. The fear is dispelled. One of my colleagues said recently that the greatest challenge we face today is not war, not economic inequality, not civic unrest or prejudice or divisions, but the greatest challenge we face today is fear and the numbness that it causes. From kings of old to today's despots, fear is the means by which we turn those who are in some way different from us into an enemy, into a people against whom we should wage war. Fear causes us to hoard, assuming that there will never be enough, and seeing those around us as competitors for scarce resources. Fear drives a wedge of distrust in our communities, and it fractures unity and compassion. Fear causes us to define ourselves and those around us, not by what makes us alike, but fear causes us to look for differences. Fear causes an either-or, an us-and-them mentality that makes it impossible to find a common ground. Fear does not allow us to see one another sympathetically. Fear drives us inward, hardens our hearts, darkens our vision, and stunts our imagination. The greatest challenge we face today is fear. And this feels very real in our world. What with mass shootings, wildfires, earthquakes, immigration tumult, the contentious political climate, we have a lot to fear. But it's very likely that this has always been true. Why else would we hear the most common command and promise in all Scripture, do not fear? More than 120 times in the Bible, some angel or prophet or maybe an ordinary person says, do not fear. And most often that command is to not fear is spoken on behalf of God. God telling us, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Have hope. What a great Advent theme. These words of promise and courage in the face of all fear is what we hear in Luke's gospel today. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is a promise that's easy to miss because these things are those foreboding signs in the earth and heavens, distress and tumult among the peoples, the power of the day being shaken, and the coming of the apocalyptic Son of Man in power and in glory. That sounds to me like something to fear. So much fear, in fact, that people will faint with fear and foreboding at what is coming upon the earth. And Jesus says to the disciples and to us, stand up, raise your heads. Now, I don't think that's some kind of sign language or code language that the end of the world is near. I don't think this is meant just for the faithful, that the coming is right around the corner if we just pay attention. Rather, I think the emphasis should be on the rest of that sentence. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. What are my words? What is Jesus talking about? He said this 1 week before the crucifixion. So looking at that week between my words will not pass away and the crucifixion, we hear words like this. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Jesus' promise and that his continued and real presence will be with his disciples. These words, like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus' promise to us of his forgiveness, no matter what. These words, like, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus' promise of eventual and ultimate rest and comfort. These words, like, peace be with you. Jesus' promise that his resurrection is the end to death and the cycle of violence and revenge. These words, you will be my witnesses to these things. This is Jesus' promise that the work of his disciples is to do the spreading of the gospel, spreading of that goodwill and peace. Those are the words that Luke used at the very beginning of his gospel. Goodwill and peace. The good news is that Jesus will not abandon his disciples. So all the tumult and the trauma of the world He will be with the disciples. He will be with us in all the tumult and the trauma and the drama of our lives. He will strengthen and encourage us. He will equip us not simply to endure the challenges of the day, but to flourish. These are the promises that Jesus made. He didn't make a promise to end the fear or the hardships from the lives of the disciples or from us, whether we're 21st century disciples or 21st century disciples. The promises of Jesus create courage to give us the ability to be faithful, the ability to do our duty. The promises of Jesus give us a vision and compassion and empathy even when we fear. It's not taking away our fear. It's not solving our hardships. It is saving us, giving us courage and compassion and empathy. This means that all the mess and the trauma of our day, we are not helpless. When we wait for Jesus to come again with complete redemption, we still have good work to do. So we undertake the good work of being Jesus' disciples in the world, the work of compassion for those who are hurting, encouragement for those who are afraid, solidarity with those who are oppressed, resistance to evil in all sorts of ways, forgiveness of those who have wronged us, and acceptance for all of God's people. We are involved in this work not because we believe that our actions will change the world, but because we know and trust that by Jesus' resurrection, the world has already been changed. We act in confidence that Jesus' promises are trustworthy. And these good works that we do are in response to Jesus' promise. And I guess that's really the summation of what Advent is all about. Waiting for the promise to be fulfilled, doing the works of mercy and justice, loving God and loving one another. Advent isn't, I don't want to counter Madeline's chocolate Advent calendar. But Advent isn't a countdown to Christmas. Advent is a time to renew our hope, to renew our desire for that coming of Christ, as well as remembering the coming of Christ at Bethlehem, remembering that event, Jesus' birthday. But it's not really a countdown for us to, you know, how many days do we have left to get our cards out or our Christmas. I know that's part of, that's the reality of our life. But Advent is a season for us to look with hope at what the world is today. Sometimes these acts, these good deeds of compassion and love and mercy, these acts of resistance to evil, these acts of forgiveness and acceptance may seem like very small gestures, but in the light of Jesus' promise, there's no such thing as a small gesture. There's only actions motivated by love and the courage of Jesus Christ. In truth, no action done in love or courage, however small, is ever wasted. It's not our job to save the world. That's because Jesus already promised to do that. It's our job to care for the people, for those in the corner of the world where we happen to live. It is our job to offer an alternative to the fear that so messes up our world. We offer our courage and our compassion as that alternative, and strive to be obedient to Jesus' command when he says, now, when these things began to take place, these things all of those terrible things that we heard in the gospel. When these things begin to happen, and aren't they happening in our lives and in our world, stand up. Raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. I agree with my colleague who said that the greatest challenge in the world today is fear. And the good news on this first Sunday of Advent is that Jesus is here and Jesus will come with complete redemption. Stand up. Raise your heads. Redemption is drawing near. In 1933, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor and theologian, gave a sermon in Germany, 1933. Remember what your history tells you is going on. And he gave a sermon about on this Sunday, first Sunday of Advent. Bonhoeffer knew fear. He knew evil, and he knew hope. This is how he concluded, and I'm quoting Dietrich Bonhoeffer, so let me read this. That Advent creates something other than a depressed and weak-kneed Christianity becomes clear from the two invitations that introduce our text. Look up and raise your heads. Advent creates new men and women. Look up, you whose eyes are laden with tears, you who mourn the loss of all that earth has snatched away. Look up, you who cannot lift up your eyes because you are so laden with guilt. Look up, your redemption is drawing near. Something different than you see daily, something more important, something infinitely greater and more powerful is taking place. Become aware of it. Be on guard. Wait a short while longer. Wait, and something new will overcome you. God will come. Jesus will take possession of you, and you will be redeemed, people. Lift up your heads. You army of the afflicted, the humbled, the discouraged, you defeated army with bowed heads. The battle is not lost. The victory is yours. Take courage. Be strong. There is no room here for shaking your heads and doubting, because Christ is coming. Amen.